Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Overcoming Your Emotional Eating. Today's topic is one I feel extremely passionate about, and it's definitively not talked about enough. I work with so many clients that have changed their body, whether it be from a client with anorexia gaining weight or a client with emotional or compulsive eating losing weight. When that happens, our brain needs to reorganize and address the new body that we live in. Some people call it body image distortion. I like to look at it as a reorganization between our brain and our body and how they're aligned and how they realistically understand each other in a new way. In today's call, you'll hear me talk about body image distortion and how specifically you can work with it while you're in the change or after the fact. Don't live somewhere you don't love. And take a look at www.wendyfrancis.com. Got lots of new things coming out this year, and I'm looking forward to continuing to serve you all in your overcoming. Thanks again for listening. All right, so let's get started. I am so excited, as always, to be here and have a real passion. I guess I recognize a lot of passion about a lot of different subjects in this genre, which is why I do this, and I'm blessed enough to do it. But I have a real passion for this specific topic because it's something I can still absolutely relate to. And it's something that can go many different directions. I'm going to take you in one direction today because I feel like it's most pertinent. It's also a direction that most people don't talk about. When we think about body image or someone struggling with body image, the reality is most people think about the clients that I may used to have had in private practice. And I don't work as much with now, although somebody just asked me the other day, will I work with adolescents again? And the answer is absolutely, because I love them and I think that they need to be served. But right now I'm serving different population. Most people think of the 16-year-old girl who has anorexia that struggles with body image. I'm going to tell you, she and that era is not the only one by far. Women my age rampantly struggle with body image, and men do as well nowadays. And here's the converse. Here's what I want to talk about tonight. As people lose weight, as we lose weight or we change our body, in whatever way that might be, our old body image gets stuck in our mind. And sometimes it's really different to let that weight go. The weight of our old body image, the weight of how we look, used to look in the mirror or in our clothes. I'm not necessarily talking about the physical letting go of your weight, i.e. the pounds on the scale, right? There's a process to that. There's systems for that. But what I'm talking about tonight is letting go of the old body image. If you've lost weight, it's the converse of what most people think about. I used to talk about body image all the time in my private practice, working with my teenagers and my young adults. But the interesting thing is that I had clients in their mid-30s and 40s and 50s who struggled with their body image just as much, and in fact had ageism on top of body image, which brings in a whole new dimension. But as I've worked more and more and more in the era and the genre of emotional overeating, and have worked more with people on the converse end where we're trying to help moderate body weight and maybe change that to a lower perspective and also working on the emotionality of eating, the reality is I've recognized that the old body image of how somebody used to look comes up more, or the fear of going back, the fear of becoming, you know, gaining that 50, 80, 100 pounds back is a huge fear, and it can keep people stuck. The inability to see what your weight is now as opposed to what it was then. Years ago, I remember being called on the phone by an old client. He's a very prominent client in the area I was working in. And he had lost over 132 pounds in the course of 10 months. Now, I know many people would call him a success, and in many respects, he was. The problem he was calling me about was not that he was gaining his weight back. In fact, he continued to lose. And so again, many people would call him a success. But he picked up the phone and called me and was literally hysterical because he had had enough. He felt tortured because all he saw when he looked in the mirror was his old self. All he saw was the fat guy that there used to be. Those are not my words. It is not how I feel. In that moment, I'm using the words that he used with me. It's what he was called for many years. And he couldn't get that language or that body image out of his mind. So I invited him in to sit down with me so we could start to work on some body image. And we embarked on a journey that helped him let go of that old weight in his mind and that old body image. You see, we forget that that can happen in the converse. We can get stuck wherever. We are human beings, and we are likely to get stuck because we're constantly learning. And when we hit a moment of stuckness, it's our chance to learn something new. Everyone talks about the weight loss, the goal, the number, how much fat they want to lose or muscle they want to gain. No one recognizes that when you make that shift in your body, if you don't let your mind keep up with the change, when you get there, it's really hard to stay because your mind is playing tricks on you. As our body image changes or shifts, the reality is if we don't come up with that shift within ourselves, that shift in our body image of how we view that, the reality is we're going to have a hard time staying where we can't see ourselves being. I watched a great video clip today of I consider her like my earth mama, my soul mama. She's a teacher of mine, a guru. She's been in my life since I was 26. She continues to be in practice. She's older than I am and more wisdomful. And she put out an awesome video today on body image, actually, ironically. And what she described as body image, which was so eloquent, it is really what she would label, and as I listened, it resonated with me, is our ability to see our body through someone else's eyes. Now, I know that that's not quote unquote what we're supposed to do, right? We don't think that that's what we're supposed to do. But the truth is, when we talk about body image, that's what it is. It's about either comparing yourself to how you used to look or comparing yourself to how somebody looks on TV or yourself to an old picture of yourself or yourself through what you think your friends want to see in you, right? It's our ability to see our body through someone else's eyes in discernment to something else. It's a comparison, a contrast. It is the imagination of what we think others think we are, as Francie White says, the imagination of what we think others think we are. And in that, there's a part of our brain, the left part of our brain, which objectifies things, that darn tootin' left brain. That left brain objectifies everything. It compartmentalizes, it makes it black and white, takes our psyche hostage, and it makes a story about the two-dimensional image that we see in the mirror or the reflection of the windows that we walk by, right? When we see that reflection, that left brain makes a story about what we see or what we think others are seeing or what we think we should be seeing or what it should really look like. You see, years ago, we didn't have mirrors or reflections. We didn't have models. We didn't have any television or social media or social media platforms. And we didn't have a body image issue. And now we have it all. And body image issues can run rampant, whether you gain weight, lose weight, whether you're underweight, whether you're overweight, whether you're 60, whether you're 6, unfortunately, it is everywhere. And I believe the reality is what we think about what others think about us, or the discernment of what we see in that mirror compared to what we think we should see, or maybe what we used to see, can really shatter our psyche. And it disenables us from really being inside of our body, like really in it. When I've asked clients, like, so where do you feel that in your body? Inevitably, there is this long pause. And there's that discernment that the mind is trying to make of what is she trying to get me to do? Because so often we're living outside of our body. Years and years ago, and I've told this story before, but this is a perfect time to tell it again because it was so impactful for me. I met an amazing woman. At that time, we were young women together. And she had, we were at a seminar for eating disorders, and she had worked with the practitioners that were giving the seminar in Southern California. And all of those practitioners had told her that she was probably going to die from her eating disorder. Now, hang with me because I know not everyone has an eating disorder, but I want you to hear the lesson that she learned. She was really on death's doorbed and literally had been in treatment for years. So this was not, practitioners do not write people off that quickly. Trust me, we are the ones that kind of die on the vine for our patients trying to get them better. But she had been years and years and years of struggle and strife, and her weight was so low and she kept collapsing, and on the drama went. And so all her practitioners had pretty much told her, you're not going to make it. And her one last wish was to go to Africa. She had long been fascinated with African culture. Don't know why. She didn't know why, but it was a huge monumental thing for her that she wanted to go to Africa before she left the earth. Because remember, everyone had told her that she'd die. And even the practitioner sitting in front of us while she told this story were tearing up because they were nodding their heads. They had all told her she was not going to make it. And so she went to Africa to live. And at first, she only went for a month because she thought, her parents thought for certain she would die. She thought she'd die there. And a month went by and she was better, getting better, not better, but getting better. And another month, she wound up staying there for over 6 months and wound up actually gaining some weight, gaining some muscle, and feeling amazing about herself for the first time in her entire life. And so when she came back, she told her practitioners, her mother, her father, who all were like weeping because they couldn't believe what they were seeing, that what healed her more than anything was her ability in Africa to be in her body. There's no mirrors, there's no windows, there's no window shopping, there's no window panes where she was in the tribal areas of Africa. There was none of that. She didn't know if she had a pimple on her face. She didn't know if her hair was sticking up. She had no idea what she looked like. And so she followed the women around and lived in tribe. And all the women made fun of her because she was so thin. And they kept telling her that she needed to gain weight so that she could carry babies and carry the water. And she, in fact, began to live in her body and relish in her strength. You see, we forgot to live in our bodies. How does it move? How does it feel? And in order to stay aligned with your body image, when you're really changing your body, right? If your weight's coming down, it's going up, you want to make sure that you keep yourself in your body as it changes. And there's ways that you can help yourself along the way. I mentioned the client who had come to see me when he lost 132 pounds. He thought everything was going to be hunky-dory, so to speak. Everything was going to just be great. And he was struggling enormously because he knew he looked a certain way now, but he couldn't see himself there. So what can you do to keep yourself aligned? You can really do that. So just like we use the devices like mirrors, social media, or pictures in a negative way, you can also use it in a positive way. So putting pictures of yourself in visible places where you can see what you look like now if your body has changed, so that you can see, oh, this is where I am now. Not where I was, but this is where I am now. You can also take out pictures of the old and compare them to the new. Now, I don't always love pictures because I do feel like we have so many pictures around us nowadays. Social media, I mean, it used to just be billboards and magazines, right? But now we've got monumental amounts of social media platforms. And even though those are not still pictures, although sometimes they are, and they're retouched and retouched and retouched again, I feel like we're inundated with visual images. So I don't love it, but it is one way you can take out pictures of how you looked and how you look now so that you can really see the difference. You can ask a friend or significant other, somebody that you really trust, not just anybody. I mean, people that you let in your core circle, when it comes to your body, it has to be imperative that you trust them 1,000%. This is not a 100% gig. This is 1,000%. And you can ask them what they think your body looks like after the weight loss, if you've changed your body. What does it look like? Who would they compare it to? So you can look outside yourself before you come in yourself. I'm going to teach you in a minute how to get in yourself. But, you know, to look outside yourself, to kind of see what it looks like from that objective point of view. Because remember, that's kind of where we live normally. So if you start with where we live normally, which is an objectification, it's a little bit easier. Although I obviously don't love that. But I understand we've got to work with the brain where the brain begins. So it begins outside. So using a trusted person to help you with that can be really helpful. They can also help you maybe pick somebody out of a crowd that looks similar to how you look now. So again, you trusted 1,000% person. And so you can kind of see objectively what that looks like. Now, here's what I love more. Getting inside yourself. So here's what you do. If you have old clothes that you used to wear, right, what you used to be in, then you would get in them now. Now, I don't recommend that converse. So if somebody gains weight and they try and get in their old thin clothes, so to speak, I hate that label, but there's a lot of guilt and shame. It's torturous. But when you change your body in that weight loss parameter, getting in the old clothes can really help you if you're really in your body, not objectively. So don't get in your old clothes and get in the mirror. Get in your old clothes and actually feel how different they feel on you. wherever it is, your calves, your thighs, your bum, your waist, your hips, your shoulders, wherever it feels different on you, really get to feel that. Close your eyes and feel it. You see, when we close our eyes, we shut down our ability to objectify things because we can't see. So we can't do it. So get in your body to feel the difference in the shift or the change. And finally, when somebody gives you a positive comment, don't ignore it or dismiss it. Take it in. Allow it to settle on your heart and your soul. And allow yourself to really own it. We are not taught to do that. A lot of times we deflect the bad, right? Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I didn't say that, right? So that's one way of not owning it. But we also don't own the good. How many compliments do people say? And they're like, not a big deal. Whatever we say, right? What if you just owned it and actually really took it in? For truth. Because people don't usually just throw around compliments to throw them around. I haven't found that. In fact, unfortunately, we probably don't give each other enough love and compliments in this world. So when people say it, you have to know they really, really mean it. And they took a moment out of their day to actually give you that gift. So instead of throwing it down, what if you took it up, took it in your heart, and owned it? We'd all be in a better place if we did that. And it enables your body image to flourish positively. You see, the problem isn't always with your body. Sometimes it's just what you actually think of your body.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.